in what he was teaching was repentance. We saw that in the first chapter. I was very blessed this morning by some kind words that Tyler had said about Beth and I. And it's important in what our actions show. How we portray ourselves to our friends and our family and to the world itself. But those actions, if they're not preceded by a firm foundation of who God is, of what His Word says, mean nothing. For I can attribute who I am this morning to God and God alone. And I'm thankful that most people see me in a light different than what I see myself. And that's only by the power of God. Jesus, up until this point, has been in ministry roughly about a year. And we can say that because the Bible teaches us that it was about a year between the ending of John the Baptist's ministry, where Jesus comes on the scene and where John is murdered. And we'll look at that next week. So we're right about the year point of Jesus' ministry. Maybe 6 months or so, give or take, since the coming together of the disciples. Jesus has shown the disciples many things over the course of this time. But for the most part, they have played second chair in this ministry and in all the opportunities. They have been more background figures. Today we see where that's going to change. And Jesus is going to send out the 12. I entitled the message, Pushing Them Out of the Net, or Out of the Nest. Kind of the picture of little baby birds as they've gotten old enough to where the mother bird will push them out and have them fly. And that, in essence, is what we're going to see this morning. But Jesus has spent his time with his disciples up until this point training them, teaching them, giving them everything that they would need to go out on their own. But to go out on your own is sometimes scary. We might remember back to our college days. As we go to college or trade school or whatever we did, maybe we're in a job and we're training for a specific position. And at the end of that training time, the boss or whoever says, okay, it's time for you to go and do it yourself. And that can be very frustrating. It can be very stressful. And I think every one of us can remember back to a time in our life when something like that was the case. As your pastor, it's important for me to train you and instruct you in the Word of God. That is my purpose and that is my desire. To feed you from God's Word. Through the course of this, sometimes even in the fact of trying to stretch out time, sometimes I will institute or fill in with personal antidotes or other things like that. And I hope I'm clear when I give my opinion on something that that's my opinion. And I hope I'm clear that when I give God's truth that it's God's truth. And if there's ever any cause for confusion in that, come and ask me. So far, I have walked this earth some 51 years. Through those 51 years, God has done much to bring me to the point of where I am. I try to train my children to avoid mistakes that I've made. In the same way, I will try to instruct you to avoid mistakes that I have made. Jesus is doing much the same thing in the case of his disciples. We've just seen over the last couple weeks how Christ, as God, how his message is rejected. We see him as God, as people are flocking to him, not for the message of repentance and salvation, but for what he can do for them. And I see that as a double-edged sword in this case. Because Christ has to show these miracles in order for people to know who he is and that who he says he is, he truly is. But it's the message of repentance and salvation that matters most. Let's go ahead and look this morning at Mark chapter 6. And we'll be covering verses 7 through 13. It says, and he summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey except a mere staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belt, but to wear sandals. And he added, do not put on two tunics. And he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. And any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they were casting out many demons and were with oil, many sick people, and healing them. All right, so we're following up here. As Jesus has gone home, we saw that last week, he's rejected by the people of his own hometown. He's rejected by his family. And in many cases, this is the story of Jesus' ministry. Though there are many crowds that gather, Even in those crowds are people who are actually rejecting him and the message that he brings. So as he leaves his hometown, he summons the 12. And the Bible says he begins to send them out in pairs. He's pushing them out of the nest. He's sending them out as his ambassadors. He's sending them out as his representatives. And he says he sends them out in twos. This isn't too curious, is it? I mean, I watch us as a church, as many of you will go out from time to time and hand flyers out around the neighborhood. We generally do this in pairs. Why? We could cover twice as much space if we went out by ourselves. But there's almost a safety, a comfort as we go out together. Paul had Barnabas. Paul then had Silas. And throughout the New Testament, we see a group of at least two or more who are going out. This would also hold to the Jewish law and the Jewish custom of two or more witnesses in a situation. So it would give credence that way, as two people would speak the same truth. So Jesus sends them out, and he sends them out with the same message that he himself was given. We see that down in verse 12. They went out and preached that men should repent. Bible also says that he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Now, if they were going to be representatives of Christ in this time, with how Christ was performing during this day, then they would have to act in a similar manner. Notice Mark says that Christ gave them authority. They didn't get this authority on their own. They did not take it upon themselves. But this authority came from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there may also be a precedent here to see that he was giving this authority to the 12. He wasn't necessarily giving the authority over unclean spirits to all who would call upon him. He gave them some instructions. Some instructions of things to leave. He instructed them that they should take nothing for their journey. He says, except a mere staff. Anecdotal story, I have to go off. Last week I was going to take the dog, and that's another story in itself. I was going to take the dog for a walk, and my 2-year-old granddaughter, who we watch, I looked over at her and said, "Maya, you want to go for a walk with Papa and take Kenzie?" And she got excited. And as we're walking down the path across the street from our house, there was some trees that had fallen this winter with the heavy winds. 2 years old, she picks up a rather large branch, and she says, "Come on, Papa, let's go hiking." Broke my heart. But they took their staff with them. See, there's the connection. So they took their staff. Jesus said, "Take your staff." He said, "Don't take any bread. Don't take any bags. No change of clothes. Don't take any money. But just basically take what you have and the shoes on your feet. Just don't even put on two tunics. Just take the one. So many times in our Christian life, we like to put things off. We'll say, okay, Lord, I'll do that for you when this is right, and this is right, and this is right, and this is right. Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to just go out as yourselves. Don't take any encumbrances with you. Just go. And I'm sure at this point somewhere, he probably reminded them truths. Something like, you know, my eye is on the sparrow. You're going in the power of God. The same God who knows how many hairs are on your head. The same God that promises to meet all of our needs. But many times we get confused with needs and expectations. Jesus said, rely on me. Don't take anything. I will take care of you. And you know, when we get mixed up in our expectations sometimes, my expectations for my needs to be met would include 3 meals a day and some snacks, roof over my head, everything that I would expect. My need may be, though, to skip a meal or two. I could live. But I could see myself after that first, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going out for you. And lunchtime comes. And there's no lunch provided. Getting kind of upset. But Jesus, he is preparing these men for what is to come. As we see in the book of Acts, they will all follow in this pattern. Christ calls us with what we have. He sends his disciples out with what they've got. Verse 10, and he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. Now, it was customary back then, and this would seem fairly foreign to us, but back during this time, when someone came into a town who was professing to be a prophet or a rabbi or a teacher, it was customary for people to put them up. So, as I enter into Dover, I will come to your house and you will put me up. Okay, so that's how simple this was. And these people would care for these men as long as they would stay. But Jesus gives them some admonishment here. He says, when you enter a house, stay there until you leave town. The warning here is somewhat, be content where God places you. Because it would be very easy for you to enter into a town, for someone to come and offer you a place in their house to stay. You get settled in, and then maybe somebody from another part of town, maybe from the nice part of town, would come and offer you a place in their house. What kind of testimony would it be for these men who are proclaiming repentance and salvation to leave someplace just because the next might be better? This is a principle that I try to place in my life. So many quote-unquote pastors in our day, they will start out in a church with the hopes of at some point being recognized and someone coming and inviting them to come to a bigger church. And then a bigger church. And then a bigger church. My son had a pastor who was working within this church and doing a good work. And that happened. And he gave his month or two notice and moved to Indiana, never to be heard of again. That's not my outlook. God has given me Beth and my 9, 10, 11, 12 children, whoever I count on that day. He has given them to me. And I'm not waiting for the widow down the street with her 3 or 4 kids to come and say, I'd like you to move in with me. Because God has given me my family. And you guys are my family. We're not to enter a house and leave, but stay there until the work is done. Jesus then says, any place that does not receive you or listen to you, as you go out from there, shake the dust off the soles of your feet for a testimony against them. And we've talked about this previously, what this meant. That this was a sign that we have no regrets on our part. We have done what we're supposed to do. The only way the disciples would have been able to do this was for them to be obedient to the task that Christ had given them. So he doesn't say to, when you get tired of this place, to shake the dirt off your feet. He doesn't say that as you grow weary. He says, when they do not receive you, when they don't listen to you, when you've done everything you can, then you're free. This is kind of the question I had this morning in Sunday school, and it didn't come out this way, but what are we to do? What are we to do with those people that we have spent loving hours, days, weeks, years with, showing them the truths of God's Word, and they continually reject it, but then come back again and again? I'm not Christ. I don't save. There's not a word that will come out of my mouth that will save anybody. But the Spirit of God can use what I bring forth. And I don't know when that's going to happen to whomever. So I guess how I would take this verse personally is that somebody rejects the message that I give them, I can leave with a confidence that I have done everything that I can do to give them the truth. And if they choose to walk away, they can walk away. I can shake the dust off my feet. But if they come back again, I need to be loving. I need to be forgiving. And I need to try once again to convince them of the truth of who Christ is. For you see, our only message is repentance. We can dress the world today, the Christian world today, is trying to dress up Christianity in so many different ways. Some ways that are okay. Some ways that are outrageous. I'm sure you can find a church in this area where you can walk into on a Sunday morning and pretty much feel like you're at a full score Broadway production. We will try to dress up the message in ways that don't offend. We try to paint the picture that Jesus Christ will fulfill your life in the way that you want it fulfilled. That's not the message of the Bible. The message is repentance and trust on Jesus Christ. So many times we propagate a message that you think your life is hard. Try Jesus. He will make it easier. And where salvation is a free gift of God, the Christian life is the most costliest life to ever be lived. The disciples were counting the cost. Jesus was sending them out to pick up their cross and follow him. They were preaching that men should repent. That's a hard message, especially for today, when men and women only want to do what's right in their own eyes. And you see, I want to do what's right in my own eyes, and I want you to be okay with it. And I don't care what's right in your eyes, you need to know what's right in my eyes and follow that. That's the message of the world today. We have a world that preaches tolerance, but their tolerance is nothing but. And when we tell people that they need to repent, that your life is going the wrong way and you need to turn around and go the exact opposite, nobody wants to hear that. They were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many people, many sick people, and healing them. In the end, it's not real clear What was the result of this encounter? I mean, we'll talk about it again when we reach verse 30. As the disciples come back and report to Jesus. But I know there was a lot of rejection. Because Jesus was putting him in that place to be rejected. And they were, I can imagine many people, again, following the disciples for the tricks and not for the truth. As we look at our lives this morning, where we are with Jesus Christ, are we with him for the tricks? Or are we with him for the truth? Are we disciples of Christ who will leave and do as he says? Or are we the followers on the outside who are just looking for what benefits us? It's a question I cannot answer for you. It's an answer that you can only answer for yourself. But I pray that as we gather, as we're instructed, as we learn, as our lives are transformed by the message of the gospel, that we find ourselves as disciples and not just followers. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you would continue again to mold us and make us after the image of your Son. That, Father, we might see what the actual cost of following you is. And Father, that we would take up our cross and follow you. Lord, be with us now as we go into this time of the Lord's Supper, a remembrance of what you have done for us. I just ask, Lord, that you would fix anything in our hearts that need to be fixed this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.